Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
It is a Victory Monday on Grant and Danny. Welcome in 106.7 The Fan. Good morning to you, Danny.
Hey, buddy. It's a win, right? They won. They scored more points than the Cardinals did.
A year from now, it's going to look like they won going away.
Yeah, a bunch of line drives in the box score. Man, oh, man. Blaine Gabbert is so bad.
He's bad.
He's so bad. That could be us.
Yep.
Doesn't that scare you?
It's a little bit worrisome.
Aren't you scared if you like the Redskins?
First thing we got to say real quick, Danny, apparently the tickets are 90% sold out.
Oh, hello.
For 106.7 The Fan at the Tally Ho Theater, January 26th.
Good job, guys.
Second annual 106.7 The Fan Live presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. This is going to be a fun event. The Junks will be there. Chad will be there. We will be there. If you want to come see us on stage, no filter, no FCC rules, it's going to be a awesome evening of fun. There's about 10% of the entire venue still available for you in terms of tickets. So they're going to be sold out today, and the event is not for another 5 weeks or so.
If you're Christian and or Samantha pondering, trying to figure out if you're going to do it or not, you better act now. That's what I would say, because they are a sellin'.
Back to the Redskins, though. This was not a sellout. There were plenty of tickets available.
They claim 72,000 were in that building. We haven't done this in a while, but let me drop one real quick. Oh, I'm sure there were 72,000 people there.
I am the most sure I have been about anything in a very long time.
I am Peter positive there were 72,000 there at that stadium.
You know what?
So
I am
sure.
I'm Max Scherzer.
Thank you.
I have never been more confident.
Raising my hand because I'm sure.
Maybe 30,000. Maybe 30,000. I did hang out with and see a bunch of listeners at the game yesterday, wandering through the parking lots, doing some tailgating.
You probably had a chance to greet every patron at the game.
I did. It was a very exciting time. But let's get to the game. The Redskins win 20-15. This game was far from pretty. They could not really put the Cardinals away. They could not put them out of their misery. Some of the specifics kind of running through the box score here. The Redskins could not run the ball at all. Bill Callahan gets paid a ton of money. I'm not going to blame him specifically for what's going on. But they've got supposedly the savant, the genius, the wizard, the mastermind of running games in this league. And they cannot run the ball at all. I don't need them to be great. 20 attempts for 31 yards yesterday. That includes a 14-yard loss on an end around. Two quote-unquote carries by Kirk Cousins for zero. But if you just want to take the running backs, fine. How about 17 rushes by tailbacks for 45 yards, an average of under 3 per carry? Cousins was efficient. He was not spectacular. I thought very conservative, frankly. We're going to talk to him at 11 o'clock. He'll be on the show in 55 minutes. I think at some point he kind of made the decision, okay, we can't get down the field. They're kind of taking some things away underneath, and we can't run the ball. I'm not going to beat us today. We're not going to make a ton of plays, but I'm going to make sure that they can't move the ball on our defense. Blaine Gabbert's their quarterback. We're going to come away with a win because I'm going to be conservative. And I thought Jay Gruden kind of coached the same way. Because of that, they didn't put up explosive plays or big numbers. But it was a winning performance, a well-managed game, an efficient game for Cousins. In the receiving game, Jamison Crowder was fine. Had a touchdown, had a 24-yard grab. Capri Bibbs had the 36-yard screen that was exciting.
That was a beautiful play.
Very nice play. Samaje Perine had a 23-yard catch out of the backfield. That was a nice little check down from Cousins to some open space. And Ryan Grant made one great catch, maybe the catch of the game in a small window throw. Good throw by Cousins on a 15-yard grab. Other than that, what'd you like? Doxson ran that 14-yard dig route to start the game, the first play on the first 15 script after their touchdown on their second drive,
mm-hmm.
he got three targets and one catch after that. Niles Paul caught a ball for 11 yards. It was just offensively, meh. Defensively, they played really hard. 15 sacks the last 2 weeks against Blaine Gabbert. They had five. And Gabbert was the best thing going for the Redskins defense.
Yeah, this is going to sound weird. I was both impressed and depressed about the Redskins defense because Arizona could move the football against them and did, especially in the first half, but they stalled in the red zone five of the six times.
They had drives of 16 plays, 11 plays, 7 plays, 10 plays, 9 plays, and 8 plays.
They couldn't get off the field. And again, if Blaine Gabbert was not the quarterback yesterday, if it was 90% of quarterbacks available in the league, they lose that game. Gabbert gabberted a couple times in some of the most defensive ways possible. The interception to Preston Smith, it wasn't even a good throw for Preston Smith to catch. That guy stinks so badly. And again, Redskins fans, that could be your future. Just keep that in mind. That caliber of quarterback could be what's in store for us. He plays well once out of every three games, and somebody says, see, I told you, as Bruce Arians said, this guy's got potential.
Well, that is what's frightening to me, by the way.
No, he doesn't.
Is that bad quarterbacks have pretty good games sometimes because it's one of those games where everything comes easy.
Happens all the time.
Go back a few weeks ago, he had one of those.
Yeah.
I want to say it was against Jacksonville, but Blaine Gabbert played a pretty good game, and everyone said, you can win with Blaine Gabbert. You could save a lot of money. And No. You can't win with a guy like this because these games are always looming. As far as the defense goes, a couple guys I really liked. Anthony Lanier was sensational.
Grown man.
And here is my excitement, and this is kind of what the end of the year is about for me. So Lanier goes out. He had two sacks, minus 14 yards, a TFL in the running game, two hits on the quarterback, batted three passes at the line, all on third down
those
to get off the
huge.
Field. One on the goal line, by the way, on what would have been a touchdown. And he forced a fumble on one of the sacks. Pretty impressive line. You get Jonathan Allen back next season. You get Matt Ioannidis back to the level of health he was early in the year when he was maybe their best pocket collapse.
Yeah, non-club hand Ioannidis.
You get Anthony Lanier back at just a level where he's part of a rotation next year. That is a core of young defensive linemen that's pretty good, actually.
So Lanier's done this a couple times against two bad offensive lines, and I'm not ripping him for it. I'm trying to make a point here. Against Seattle, he did this where I thought he was their best defensive lineman. The numbers don't bear out like they did yesterday.
Crushed Seattle.
But he was really good in that game, and he was good in this one. That's kind of your nice base. That's your sort of, if you're baking whatever dish, you go, okay, now we've got our base here. You can beat up someone that's bad. What can you do when Philadelphia comes to town? Your next step in your growth is to be, I'm not saying you have two sacks, a forced fumble, an interception, four batted passes every time you play a divisional game, but can you now start to have an impact every so often against some of the better teams?
If that's kind of the base. You have a chance to do that.
You got a chance to do it.
Played a whole lot.
Agreed.
I also know this. The majority of the defensive linemen that have been on this team over the years, and certainly that are on this team now, have never had that game.
Right.
So forget who it's
exactly.
against. Going out and getting two sacks and a TFL in the run game and three batted passes and forcing a fumble, that's a game that most guys don't possess anyway. I like the upside. And again, this is not a guy that has to be great. He's not your first-round pick, Jonathan Allen. It's Allen, it's Ioannidis, it's him. Stacy McGee has proven, I think, that he's a decent little run stuffer. So that's four of what is going to be probably your seven-person defensive line next year that you go into the year automatically feeling pretty good about. Now you invest a mid-first-round pick on the D-line again. Or maybe you go in a different direction in the first round, and in the second round, you take another D-lineman. And you spend another $25 million on a player like a Stacy McGee, who's your fifth defensive lineman. You don't need him to be second or third like you needed Terrell McClain to be, who hasn't been. If he comes back, maybe he's your sixth or seventh guy. You have the makings of a much better defensive line, is my point. I like that. I am sold on Kendall Fuller. He's a slot player, probably not going to start or play on the outside. I don't need him to be. There's not a better player in the slot against screens in the league. He's been great
since
week one, blowing them up. He handled Larry Fitzgerald pretty well. And Fitzgerald, I know how old he is, in his mid-30s, still a Pro Bowler, defended a couple passes, made several tackles helping out other defenders who'd gotten beat. He's having a really good year. You won a game without Zach Brown or Mason Foster. I mean, Zach Vigil's a guy. Marshall Spate's a guy. They both made a couple nice little plays. Secondary, I thought, played pretty well overall. DeShazer Everett flew around. Don't get me wrong. The fact that Blaine Gabbert was quarterbacking against you and it wasn't Carson Palmer has a lot more to do with why you won than anything else. But you either play hard and play well and play with passion, or as we saw last week, you don't. And the defense, after a week where we crushed them for not even investing energy, it didn't seem like, cared a lot.
Yeah, it seemed like they cared. Just the fact is they're not that good.
Right.
On both sides of the ball right now. I think there are two injuries in retrospect. We know a lot of them. We know all these different guys that are out or have been in and out, have been hampered, whatever it is. The two they couldn't get over, I now have come to believe, is A, Jonathan Allen on defense, and B, Chris Thompson on offense. Once those two guys were fully gone, you just saw, okay, it's sort of like there's not much we can do. There's nothing dynamic about us on either side of the football. We can plug some holes and occasionally stop a play or two and maybe get the tackle for loss or a sack here or there. The consistency of this defense has been gone since Allen went away. All the 30-point games save the Philadelphia game, which was made a 30-point game by a bogus fumble return for a touchdown at the end. But all the big scoring games have happened since he's been gone. And then on offense, they're just not as dynamic without Chris Thompson. 1 of 9 on third down. 6 minutes and 30 seconds of possession in the first half where they totaled 77 yards. Really, they managed one drive per half that was worth talking about the following day.
Yeah.
Very little impressive about this game. I'm glad they won because it staved off some of the wolves and, good for a kid like Capri Bibbs, good for, a lot of these guys that have worked so hard. The Ty Nsekis of the world had a terrible game a couple weeks ago I thought was great for the most part against Chandler Jones. Glad, for Cousins to get the W, et cetera. A lot of guys that I'm rooting for in that crew. But it's hard to come away the day after going, deal with that in your face, everybody. It's kind of,
if you come out and you beat Arizona 33-10.
You would shut them. Okay.
It feels a little bit different than yesterday, which is the Redskins weren't as bad as the Cardinals kind of game.
Right. We stunk less.
1 for 9 on third down.
1 for 9,
man. Killer. And I'll bet you, Cousins is going to join us at 11. And I don't know what he's going to say, obviously, but I bet you that's the thing that's going to stick in his craw, because he had a couple throws that weren't perfect on third down. Like Josh Doctson could have made a catch at one point on a ball that was too high.
It was a little high, yeah.
You have that back, you keep a drive alive, maybe all of a sudden it's 24-15. And that's where last couple of years, Cousins was great on third down. And a couple of these games where their offense can't stay on the field, where the time of possession doesn't go with them, and they get out run in terms of the number of plays and quantity by 20 or 30, it's because you're not converting these third downs. And I'll bet you that's somewhere where he wanted the offense and probably himself to be crisper. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Let's give out some game balls next and make some players take some laps, run some gassers as well. Best and worst from the game, what do you got? 800-636-1067. Your calls are next. Kirk Cousins will be on the show at 11 o'clock. 40 minutes from right now on Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan, welcome back. And thanks much, as always, for listening to the show, making it part of your day. We always kick off our Monday broadcast after Redskins games, whether they're miserable or they're victorious, with game balls for the best and gassers for the worst. So let's do it.
I want a game ball, Tommy. Yeah. Kendall Fuller. Yeah. Kendall Fuller, everybody. Kendall Fuller's here. It's his house. He sleeps 20 feet away. Kendall Fuller. I was wrong. I will own this forever. I put money down. I got a loan from the bank. I will own my mistake on this forever. I hated that draft pick. Not because of the kid, not because of the player, but because of that microfracture knee surgery. He looks right. He looks right. He's explosive. He's athletic. He's quick. He's strong. You already touched on it the first segmentation. Nobody is better on those quick Michael Bublé screens or smokes or whatever else. He blows those things up. He hates them. He despises you gaining yards on those things. He was awesome. Did a good job on Larry Fitzgerald. Kendall Fuller's a player. Gasser.
Vernon Davis, another two-catch, sub-20-yard performance, and he just lazily fumbled.
At least he fumbled.
That was one of the more annoying turnovers I've seen in a long time. You didn't get blown up. Nobody, ripped the ball out of your hands as you're going to the ground. It was just kind of this almost careless, and this guy's a pro who tries really hard. I mean, I like Vernon Davis, but it looked terrible. I need you to not drop the ball and not fumble if you're a receiver. Those couple of things are kind of my prerequisites. I'll live with it when you're making 6-7 catches for 70, 80 yards in a game. Those weeks are several in the rearview mirror at this point for Vernon Davis. That wasn't good enough.
Preston Smith, come on. Wow. That was awesome. Preston Smith, huh? Pressuring people. Only got credited for one sack, but there was more there. Knocked a pass down, intercepted a pass, tackle for loss. To me, I think he was responsible probably for a total of two sacks. Maybe you can give him credit for a third, flushing Blaine Gabbert around. He was a man. The fact that these games happen, it's like the kid that doesn't study all that often, then every once in a while turns in this like A paper where it's well-researched and there's a great bibliography and everything looks right. Then the next time he doesn't read the book and fails the quiz. I would love – you can't do that every game, obviously, because you'd be the defensive player of the year.
The Redskins hit the quarterback 9 times. Preston Smith had 4 of them.
I want just a little bit. Can I get a little bit more consistency from 94? Because he's got these in him. He's got these monster games in him. He's got the monster energy drink in him. He's got the claws in the teeth, and he's smacking the bunny around. A few more of those, 94.
Anthony Lanier, 2 sacks, a tackle for loss, 2 quarterback hits, 3 batted passes on 3rd down, and a forced fumble. I thought he was the best Redskins defender and, in turn, the best Redskins player on the field. Gasser.
Anyone responsible for the running game? I'll start with Bill Callahan and Callahan Auto Parts. He did sell 500,000 brake pads to save the factory in Sandusky, Ohio.
But half a million brake pads.
After that, Samaje Perine, Capri Bibbs, LaShawn Daniels. I don't know, man. The reverse to Josh Doctson, that was adorable. They can't run. They basically had 2 games this year where they have run it really well. 2 games that I'd give them okay, 10 games where the running game is a disaster. And they're still 3.7 yards per carry. Imagine if you don't have, you take out the 2 highs and 2 lows, as you a lot of times you do in stats, they're the worst running team in the NFL. I don't understand how it could be this bad. This bad. It's terrible. It looks awful. Samaje Perine, 2.6 yards per carry. Ew.
Capri Bibbs. He was a great college player. Got a lot of hype and fanfare initially in Denver. Somehow, someway, has spent the season on the Redskins practice squad. About the 18th running back they've used in the last month. And he caught a 36-yard screen for a touchdown. Did he do anything special? No, he made one guy miss. It was really well designed, really well timed. Everything was flawless on the call, the execution. That was a Jay Gruden touchdown more than it was a Capri Bibbs touchdown. But he also had a nice little run for 6 yards. He caught 4 passes for almost 50. He was the number 2 receiver on the day for Washington. For a guy that was on your P squad who most people at the stadium hadn't even heard of before they sat down in their seats, I'll take that. That's a game ball.
Yeah, shout out to Cousin Chase Roullier, 30 yards down the field, blocking on that touchdown. That was a lot of fun. How about Martrell Spate? I thought he played pretty well. This has been a thing where this is the next man up mentality. It's easy to say, harder to do. You're on your, God knows what, 10th linebacker pairing at this point, where it was Foster and this guy and that guy. Now it's Spate and Vigil, that law firm. I thought Vigil was fine, too. Martrell Spate, I thought, played pretty well. A couple of those explosive drive-altering tackles for either 0 or 1 where you force Arizona to something they probably don't want to do. I thought Spate was good in this game.
DJ Swearinger had the big pass breakup to help seal the win at the end of the game. Larry Fitzgerald pulls that pass in without Swearinger knocking it out of his hands inside the 10-yard line. Arizona may still win, and we're talking about a loss right now. Swearinger then ripped his helmet off, which was idiotic and didn't make any sense.
What are we doing?
I will give you a pass because you'd already made the play to end the drive and in turn the game. He also made a really nice tackle for loss on a running play that went for -3 to help kind of derail a drive, because when you're second and behind the sticks with Blaine Gabbert as your quarterback, you don't have much of a chance. He's not in the box a lot, but whenever he is, you're reminded that if they could somehow have a safety situation with a healthy Monte Nicholson, where he could play deep and Swearinger could kind of flow like a linebacker, they'd be a lot better against the run. I thought he made a couple real impact plays in the second half, though. Yes, sir.
Cut to about 1.5 minutes left in halftime. Wife enters the room, says, "Who has the ball to start the second half?" I say, "The Redskins." She leaves the room. 90 seconds later, the Arizona Cardinals have the ball. She says, "I thought you said the Redskins had the ball to start the second half." I said, "Oh, they were supposed to. They were supposed to have the ball to start the second half, but you had a collapsed circus tent inside of an emu joust on the opening kickoff of the second half. 11 guys just sort of going, I should probably stay away from that ball because otherwise we'd have possession. Ben Kotwika, I hope your key card didn't work this morning. And I hope you had to like go through all sorts of machinations to find a way to get in the building.
In fairness to Ben Kotwika, who I'm with you, by the way, has done nothing to make me feel good about him as the special teams coordinator, and I'm going to be interviewing guys early this offseason. That was kind of a bad luck play. I'm not really sure. Short of like Tony Bergstrom, who's an offensive lineman, turning around and making sure there wasn't a bad bounce, what should have happened there? I'm not telling you that that was a good look, But it was basically, you couldn't have thrown that ball, gotten a better bounce, and have all that worked out better.
Yeah, but it's like...
There's not a lot Ben Kotwika can do about that, is all I'm saying. That's an awareness on the field thing.
Yeah,
me.
Which I think to me is it needs to be coached up or instilled. Like, hey, in case of emergency, do X, right? We work on these scenarios. Maybe guys weren't paying attention. That can't happen. That was so disastrous and awful.
That was one of those plays, because we went over this for like 20 minutes in the press box all trying to make sense of this, where you can't really pinpoint it on any one person. Like, nobody did anything, quote-unquote, wrong.
No one did anything right is my counter. I understand your point. I need someone to catch the football. I need someone to not let the ball bounce into the arms of the Arizona Cardinals.
You want
player.
The offensive lineman to try to, like, field it running backwards?
I want Niles Paul to catch it.
He's 24 yards from where it landed.
I want someone to not let the ball go to the Arizona Cardinals.
But it was impossible to be caught by one of the deep
guys. Why doesn't every team do that every single time then?
I bet they would if they thought they could get that bounce.
It
was like a punt kicking back 12 yards toward the guys who were sprinting down the field.
You're making good points, and I like them all. Here's my counter. That can never happen. And it's impossible.
That's fair.
It should never happen. It can't happen. That was an oh my God, fire everybody play.
I think it was like a 1 in 100 kind of terrible luck situation, but also ideally, someone's more aware and does something. But, like, Niles Paul is at the goal line and the ball bounces backwards or away from him at the 19. There's not a lot he can do about it.
I need less bewilderment and confusion and lack of awareness where guys are going, the ball's behind me. That's weird. And, like, they're trying to engage somebody and Arizona gets free points.
Maybe Tony Bergstrom should have waved his arm and fair caught it or something.
I would have drifted back
and made an athletic play.
I'd have been thrilled.
Interior offensive
I'd have been
lineman.
Thrilled if someone valued the football. It's so important.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Let's get to your calls next. Who gets your game ball for the best yesterday? Who gets your gasser for the worst? We are 30 minutes away from talking exclusively today with Kirk Cousins. What'd you guys think about the game? We will get to your calls on Grant and Danny next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I think, you know, it says a lot for Randy and his coaching staff to get these guys ready to play, but also for Cabri to come in here and really be diligent about learning what he has to do, you know, as far as protections and route combinations and route concepts and audibles and no huddle that we did a little bit today. I think it's a credit to Cabri and Coach Jordan. And then Cabri taking advantage of the opposite he got. You know, he ran a great screen pass and weaved his way through traffic, got a touchdown. Drew Holding called another screen pass and had a couple other catches for us that were quite significant. So happy for Cabri. Glad he got his opportunity and took advantage of it.
You take advantage of your ops, more will come, and you'd think we'll see more Cabri Bibbs in the next couple of weeks. That was Jay Gruden yesterday. We're Grant and Danny. Who gets your game ball? Who gets your gasser after a Redskins 20-15 win over a bad Cardinals team? 800-636-1067. We're going to get to your calls, and then we'll start pivoting around the NFL, some of the action from yesterday in the league. Let's go to Amanda in Winchester. What's up, Amanda?
Hey, Amanda.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Hey, so I'll start with my gasser, which was the first one you mentioned, which was Vernon Davis. He's just not really been himself lately. I love Vernon Davis, but he did not look good yesterday.
I wonder if his game ball. Remember, he hurt his hand in Seattle. It was like bleeding, and it was all jammed.
It was
or
all
whatever
puffy.
Happened.
Yeah.
I wonder if something's going on because he's had weird drops going back to the end of that New Orleans game that normally he doesn't. It almost just doesn't seem like Vernon Davis is 100%. I don't know how else to say it. But that fumble yesterday was just a terrible, almost lazy kind of look. It didn't look good. Who's your game ball?
Yeah, Well, I agree. And I wonder if he is hurt. I really hope they sit him down now that there's nothing really left to play for. I hope they're not playing him if he's not 100%.
Yeah.
Game ball is going to be Anthony Lanier. He was just everywhere yesterday. He looked really great. It was good to see some good stories on the defense. I actually have some high hopes for some of those guys for next year. I know they've been super banged up. And Dustin Hopkins, too. It was good to see him back. And, you know, he didn't do anything sexy or exciting, but he just did his job correctly. And I think there are a lot of guys who don't just go out there and do their jobs the way they should every week. So.
Yeah, 2 for 2 on extra points, 2 for 2 on field goals. Did a good job kicking off. It was weird to me that they just brought him back at the end of the year in a lost season.
I mean, Rose has been good.
Nick Rose was 10 of 11. I think Hopkins was 9 of 11. Rose had a long of 55.
Banging the ball out of the end zone.
And Rose is just the guy. I mean, so Hopkins, you know, we don't want him to lose his job via injury. Here's my guess. I bet Rose, if he doesn't sign somewhere else, comes back on one of these futures deals, and then they compete, you know, all training camp or preseason long.
There was one kickoff. I'm sure you noticed this, but I think it was after I want to say there was a penalty on Arizona during the attempt, right? The PAT attempt. So they moved it up 5 yards. Hopkins did this thing that I think more teams should do, the super high kick that landed right at the goal line. So it's hard to get under it. And they had the camera focused on him because obviously you were at the game, so you could see this from home. And he almost stumbled afterwards because you had to get such high arc on the football. And it went up super, super, super high, like this pop-up kick. I guess you couldn't do it if you were further back because it might lead to good field position. But Arizona was all kind of befuddled by it. And the coverage team was down there, drilled the guy. I think they got the ball at like the 14 or 15. That's kind of a weapon.
I love it.
Can't do it every time, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's a dichotomy you got to deal with if you're a coach of, I know, worst case scenario, we're starting at the 25 if we just boot it through the back of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen against the Redskins specifically, who just haven't made plays in the return game. Breland did break one last week. For 20-plus yards. And then this past week, they had a decent return from Maurice Harris yesterday. But for the most part, teams are daring the Redskins to bring the ball out by kicking it around the goal line.
I would.
I would, too. Why wouldn't you? Let's get to some of your storylines from around the NFL yesterday. We'll start with the Rams and Sean McVay. In Los Angeles, Rams fans are getting ready to celebrate a division winner because they went to Seattle.
Were any statements made?
And they shellacked the Seahawks after the game yesterday, McVay commending his club for taking advantage of a golden chance to send some
I think
news
our guys understood
league-wide.
That it was I think our guys understood that it was a big opportunity to be able to come in here and try to take a 2-game lead in our division with 2 left. We know that the mission isn't accomplished yet. We got a great challenge next week, but I think the guys understood coming off a tough loss what it was going to take to come in here and get a win, and they were ready to go. They had a great week of preparation. I thought our coaches did a great job getting these guys ready, and then the players ended up delivering in a big way today. So very pleased, and it continues to demonstrate kind of that mental toughness that we talk about, responding the right way after you face some adversity, and that's why you have to love this football team.
42-7.
I didn't see it coming, man.
On the road yesterday.
They
were
up
13-0 after one. They exploded for 3 touchdowns in the second quarter. They led 34-0 at the half. And then they came out and took a 40-0 lead. I mean, this is a 42-7 game that the Seahawks were never in. What do you say if you're a Seattle fan? Russell Wilson yesterday had 16 incompletions, 14 completions. He ran for about 40 yards. It's not his fault. There was nothing happening around him. He was pushing the largest rock up the largest mountain yesterday.
That was dominance. That was dominance from start to finish. And I didn't see it coming. If you told me before this game starts, right, Los Angeles is going to score 42 points, I go, well, then this one's a shootout. Neither defense can do it. Seattle banged up. I'm assuming the Rams had to keep point, you know, score points to match Russell Wilson, the potential MVP of the league. Going back and forth, it's Baldwin, it's Lockett, it's J.D. McKissick probably. Jared Goff threw for 120 yards. They never had to throw. It just handed the ball off to Todd Gurley, to Malcolm Brown, to Tavon Austin. Everyone got turns, 152 yards and 3 touchdowns, including a 60-yard scamper when they were just trying to run out the clock before the half. They were too successful. That was unbelievable from start to finish. The mystique in Seattle is gone. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes, it is.
3 losses at home this year. When's the last time that happened?
And they're hurt. I mean, they don't have the game's best safety. They don't have one of the game's best corners. Bobby Wagner's playing through pain and isn't himself. Their defense is completely watered down. But there's no excuse to put up 7 points and look as bad as they did on offense.
Just gross.
Because they don't run the ball all that well, and they couldn't get anything going in the passing game. Russell Wilson fumbled twice, lost one of them. They lost two fumbles in a multi-turnover game. It was just kind of over right as it started. The Rams were better prepared. One thing I loved for Sean McVay was there was a sequence in the second half of the game. The Rams were up huge. And the Seahawks started to do Seahawky things where they wanted to start engaging in, you know, these shoving matches and fighting after the play and whatnot.
It's so Seahawky.
Sean McVay called his entire defense over to the sideline after burning a timeout. Basically gets in everyone's face and gives them a Herman Boone, remember the Titans speech. Who knows what he said? My guess is, because he pointed at the scoreboard very obviously, we're beating them. We're dominating them. Do not let them get under your skin right now. Let them be upset. They should be. You're killing them. Go out there and beat them whistle to whistle. But I just love for a young coach to call that timeout to get the guys over to the sideline and to address them. You don't see that a whole lot, but he knows what he's doing. He is going to be your coach of the year. One of the other big stories in football yesterday were a couple of calls in nationally televised important games with playoff ramifications that everybody's been discussing. We'll get into those next. Kirk Cousins at 11 in 18 minutes right here on Grant and Danny.
I don't want to get fined, okay? I'm not happy with the way things were done. A lot of different situations throughout the night. They did the best they could. I had a different viewpoint. I saw error. Thought it was pretty obvious. But, again, they do the best they can with the tough job.
That's Jack Del Rio, the head coach of the Raiders, after his group lost a pertinent game last night at home to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, 20-17. And what he's talking about was a sequence that everybody took to social media to react to last night, which was one of the closest first down measurements in the history of football
that I've ever seen.
Fourth and about a foot at their own 40-yard line. Gutsy decision by the redheaded wonder Jason Garrett to go for a first down with a quarterback sneak. Dak Prescott keeps, basically tries to push the pile forward. He gets close to a foot. They spot the football. They bring out the chains. And normally after bringing out the chains, you can tell as soon as you stretch them out whether the ball reaches the destination or not.
I mean, I thought Chris Collinsworth was going to come to completion on the air during this thing. I don't think anyone's ever been more excited about anything. That piece of paper replaced Sean Lee for him in his mind's eye.
The piece of paper that Danny's referring to is they're looking ball chain, and then the ball, is it past the chain? Is it we can't figure this out. All the refs are standing there, all the players gather around, they have to push them away. So then they take out a piece of paper. Some weird scratch paper. I don't know where it came from.
It was folded.
It's all folded up.
Folded paper.
It's not even just paper. It's folded. It's leaning. It's weird. And they shove paper between a football and the chain to see if the paper fits. Now, my logic would say that if the paper fits between the football and the chain without going sideways, then it's not a first down.
And you must have quit. Yeah.
So they put this paper between the nose of the football and the marker. And then say it's a first down.
I don't know, man.
That made no sense. But here we are in 2017, this multi-billion dollar industry.
Last week, the NFL made a deal to show every game on mobile devices with Verizon for $500 million. A folded sheet of scratch paper determined what was a first down. That's where we are.
In a must-have game for two teams, by the way. The Cowboys, who are trying to keep their playoff hopes alive, as slim as they are. And the Raiders, who are not mathematically cooked now, but basically done largely because of that measurement. That is where we are. It was the weirdest thing ever. And Del Rio said, yeah, I saw error. I don't know how you saw anything or what you saw from where you were.
That's why the ref doesn't stand there.
That wasn't even the play in terms of rules being dumb that made the least sense last night, because you had Derek Carr at the end of the game. Raiders get the ball back, down 20-17, time winding down. Rumbling toward the sideline. He's picked up a first down. He should just run out of bounds, first and goal, with, you know, 10 or whatever seconds were remaining left. I don't even remember. He reaches the ball out, loses the football. We've seen this no less than a dozen times in the last few years in football. going back to Robert Griffin against the Giants and East Rutherford in 2013.
He had the ball in his hands in the end zone, and they called it a touchback. I'll never forget that.
Never forget that. But if you lose the ball out of the back of the end zone in any way, it's a touchback. The other team gets the ball first and 10 from their own 20. That is what happened with Derek Carr. By rule, correct call.
Yeah.
I hate the rule. And we can talk about this more later in the show. My philosophy would be you get the ball first and goal from the one. If you fumble out of the end zone, what a lot of people said to me when I said that on Twitter last night is, well, then what would prevent someone from just kind of reaching out and losing the ball? Or, you know, a lot of people fumbling from time to time out of the back of the end zone, knowing they're getting it.
All those purposeful fumbles.
Toss the ball forward. I don't think that would happen. I think tossing the ball on purpose is a penalty anyway because it's an illegal forward lateral. But the idea that maybe you'd have more fumbles by design, or you lose the ball and one of your teammates picks it up. Okay, then let's go first and 10, and it's a reverse touchback where you get the ball, if you're on offense, after fumbling, at the 20. Or maybe you lose it down and you get it at the 10 or something. That's fine. But the defense who did nothing shouldn't get the ball and get bailed out.
I got extra angry last night because that rule sucks. It does. It's dumb. And I'll tell you why in a second. But the fact that there were so many people in favor of it made me furious. You're not allowed to like this rule. You just can't. I can't deal with you if you like it. I can't deal with you if you accept the rationality and reason of having 99 yards of playing field and one rule for fumbles that applies throughout those 99 yards. If the fumble goes out of the field of play, it reverts to the spot of the fumble for the offense. That's an accepted rule, and it makes sense. It has made sense since the beginning of fumbles, since people drop pigskins onto the ground. They go, this is how we should govern this thing. If it goes out of bounds, it goes back to the fumbling team. And everyone tips their caps and leaves. For some reason, some inexplicable, bizarre, incorrect reason, they've decided fumbles in the end zone in that general area are special. If it's recovered in the field of play, by the way, it's whoever gets the ball. Yep, still got that. That's in common with the rest of the 99
fumble
yards.
Out of bounds, you keep the ball.
If you fumble it out of bounds in the end zone, it's the most costly penalty or application of the rules in the sport. You realize that. Think about that. Think about the reversal. You, instead of getting the ball where you fumbled, which is what always happens, everywhere else in the field, not only do you lose possession automatically, but the other team gains positive 25 yards based on this mistake. There is no penalty in the sport that's basically a bleeping turnover. That does not exist. You turn the football over because of the application of this asinine, stupid, nonsensical rule. It is the correct rule, how they applied it last night. It literally was a meeting where guys are going, I can't figure out what to do, and someone yelled touchback and they broke for lunch. It's the dumbest thing that happens in the sport, and anyone that likes it needs to apologize to me profusely for the rest of the day.
It's my second least favorite thing in football in terms
horrendous.
Of rules. First is the catch rule. And the catch rule, by the way, which costs teams games all the time, could so easily be fixed and hasn't been, was on display as well yesterday. When Ben Roethlisberger leads the Steelers down the field, thanks to a 70-yard catch by Juju Smith-Schuster, he finds his tight end, Jesse James, for a reception, who reaches across the goal line with possession of the football, and upon landing in the end zone, the ball moves. And so right away we all knew, oh my gosh, this isn't going to be a touchdown, because the rule is very clear and very obvious. Ben Roethlisberger after the game.
I'm not going to comment on the call. That's it's not mine to make. You know, it's what a roller coaster, huh? Have that play and feel like you score and you're excited for it, and then have to come back and it's not a touchdown. It's a game of emotion.
That is a catch. Change the catch rule today, this morning, this minute. The ground should not break up a completion. Just like the ground cannot cause a fumble, it's very simple. This is the new rule. We'll fix it right now. The ground cannot cause an incompletion. If you control the ball to the ground, it is a catch. We could further discuss the catch rule later, and we should take calls on this. We'll ask Kirk Cousins how catches should be determined and whether or not he saw that game when he got home last night as the Patriots and the Steelers were vying for the top seed in the AFC.
The Calvin Johnson rule stinks.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Kirk Cousins is live with us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.